Committee of the Whole, November 3rd, 2014.
Call meeting from the Village of Brown Lake, November 3, 2014, at 7:34. Madam Clerk, roll call.
Trustee Fine?
Present.
Trustee Crayley?
Present.
Trustee Newby?
Present.
Trustee Femicelli?
Present.
Trustee Trapan?
Present.
Trustee Wazinski?
Present.
Thank you. May I get a motion for item 2.1, approve the minutes of the committee of the whole meeting of October 20, 2014.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Crayley, seconded by Trustee Simoncelli. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Any public comment? Then committee of the whole. We have some items under human resource and finance.
December 15th. And then I'll open it up for questions.
Sandy, so you have any questions?
I don't have a question for you. I want everyone to take some more time.
Yes, that's fine.
Well, yes, it has to be done next time if you prefer to. We come back with a couple different types of analysis. I have no problem with that either. We've done that in the past. So the estimate's going to be, I'm suggesting, be approved as is. But then what we did is we came back with proposed levies for a final levy done on December 15th. And what we decided, if you recall from last year.
We have this information in front of us. We still have time to gather our thoughts, still have time to make phone calls and ask questions and be prepared for our next meeting. I don't know what other analysis that we require from you, Steve. But we have a couple of weeks to study this and call and ask questions.
Has our liaison representatives met and do they have a recommendation?
Yes, we met last Friday. And we're supporting Steve in sharp position of what they presented.
I think it's quite sound. I think his plans is great. And we're talking about an estimate right now.
Yeah.
That's all that consumer index about, correct?
Consumer price index drives your overall levy, and it's 1.5%, so about $52,000 of the overall increase of the $63,000 I'm estimating will be added is because of the consumer price index.
Right. And so, I mean, it's based on what it is.
Yeah.
And the only thing about it is that you have to say a logical decision.
Yeah.
And this is an estimate. Before we actually vote the money and vote this up, he's going to come back with some other numbers also.
Sure.
He's going to give some more on it anyway. So what I think we can do is move forward.
Steve, could you explain something for a little bit of clarity? You mentioned about for every $250,000 that we get approximately $3,000, did you say that?
$3,000 in additional taxes that come down to us.
$250,000 comes from?
Let me see if I can explain this the right way. Let's say there was no new growth in Round Lake. Our expenses would go up exactly 1.5%. That's the maximum it can go up. Anytime there's new assessed valuation, new developments, for example, Emerald Bay, let's say there's a $750,000 building that's going up that got onto the tax rolls. Your piece of pie was this big is now this big, slightly bigger, and that additional benefit we're getting won't impact anybody sitting here. It'll impact the new people because there's new assessed valuation out there that was never out there before. They call that the new benefit, new development benefit. Is that sort of what?
Thanks for clarifying.
So you're saying we have new development benefit?
Yes, we do every year. It's dramatically gone down every year. I am estimating another $750,000 from the Emerald Bay. They're still working out there, so there will be more benefit in the future once it gets out of tax rules.
What was our levy last year?
Our extension? Mm-hmm. $3,486,069.
And what percentage did we?
That's what they don't have in front of me. I'll have to check that. I don't have that in front of me in my analysis here. $1.86 but the general fund went down. I don't know how much went down, but the police pension, The general fund levy went down $7,670. The police pension levy went up $71,000. So I think the general fund went down like 0.6%. I think we talked about this conversation too.
Okay, so you're saying that plus the police pension
went up 1.86%.
So one of our options here is to just levy the 1.86.
That was last year's.
Okay, so what basically what I'm saying is, are you looking for much more than that?
The maximum we can levy on Demigas is $63,000 or 1.82%.
1.82?
I can pull your off the numbers to see how much the new EAE will do to that percent, but it's not going to be much higher than that because the consumer price index is still going down to 1.5.
I was just wanting to be very sure that we're
not
getting more than we really need. I mean, I know I've heard so the cows can fall into the compounding factor works, but that compounding factor has also a compounding effect on the residents who are struggling, so I want to be sure we're careful with it.
Well, I also have to tell the board to keep in mind on the financial forecast we did for budget purposes, too, and we're showing that we're going to make them cash 6 years from now. You know, although that has to be updated, there's one position definitely we have not hired yet, but still you need to be looking long term. But again, I can do different analysis like I've done in the past.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Good evening, Mayor, Board, and Trustees. Party tonight is the monitor, computer monitor replacement. It is budgeted for fiscal year 2015 a total of 28 replacement monitors, 8 in administration, 4 in police, 4 in public works, and 4 in the building department. I consulted with our IT consultant, Current Technologies, and we were looking for a good quality monitor for a reasonable price. We staff obtained quotes from 3 vendors that are attached there, CDW, Staples, and Warehouse Direct. Staff is recommending the lowest computer monitor quote from CDW to purchase the monitors. The unit cost there is $160.41 for a total cost of $3,208.1. The budgeted items for these are $200, so we're under budget. And the installation of these computers will be done during current technology normal maintenance, or by those staff members, so no labor charge will be on the quote. Are there any questions?
The brand on it?
We went with the QSonic. I've had a good experience with these in the past and current technology also. It's a good quality monitor.
Is that a monitor on it?
24.
Since I've been here, I don't think monitors have ever been replaced.
No. Yeah.
Bravo.
Yeah.
Bravo. Everybody agree? We can move this forward. We'll move to the consent agenda. Shane, thank you. Public Works.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the board. The first item is a proposal to extend the Metro parking lot snow removal ice control contract with Kaplan Paving. They had the 3-year contract. We had some discussion about extending that contract 1 year, and there was another perspective offered as well. We're going to extend it, let's extend it for 3 years, and we'll see if that is for a financial benefit. That's what's in front of you this evening. The desire outcome by Kaplan, who's given a very good service, is to take the fixed price under the old contract of $14,900 or up to 40 inches of snow, go with 45 inches as the threshold for fixed price. Their request is to increase the dollar amount to $18,500 for this winter and then the subsequent two winters. Their rationale, which I believe is valid, certainly some increase in their labor costs, fuel prices in the short term, pleasant if they're going down, that's not been a long-term trend. And their biggest concern is the volatility of the price of rock salt. So therein, through my discussions with them, is what they have requested. Above 45 inches of snowfall in a given winter would go into the category of per occurrence cost, as indicated on the agenda item summary. It was $858 per occurrence, whether it was plowing only, salting only, or either. Their request is to change that to $900 per occurrence for a plowing event, 1 inch or more of snow accumulation, or $700 per occurrence for a salting event, the sum of both of those, $1,600. Per occurrence if it's both plowing and salting. Clearly, I anticipate that we're all wondering about how much snow is snow, how much icing necessitates salting, and is that kind of total variability? And it does. My thought is that I have been engaged with them on an event basis. And I've been very pleased with their service and their timeliness. I will remain engaged on their services. And the per occurrence is something that I would be requesting. So if it's at the margin, nothing that prohibits us, public work, taking care of that, resources and time as well. So my recommendation is given their very good service to us, that we do go with the 3-year contract extension. And I didn't say, so let me say it now. They do want a cost escalator. The recommendation that I got from Steve was to change their language from just a flat 3%. Year two, year three, to a consumer price index not to exceed 3%. I reached out to the gentleman that I'm working with, but he's not there. I'm reasonably confident they would accept that modification to what they have proposed. My request is we go with this for 3-year extension.
John, with that, the $858 per occurrence fee that we're currently at in the current contract, the $58 per occurrence fee, and you're talking about, is that for plowing only, or is that plowing and salting?
I'm going to have to step up there.
So when you're first, in your line item number one, you said the current per occurrence fee is
$858.
Correct. And then in the line 3, when you break it down for the proposed preference, you have it broken down by plowing, salting, and combined.
Correct.
Is that 858 currently just plowing, or is that plowing and salting, or is there a separate fee for salting too that's going up to? So I don't have that preference.
Current contract is 58, our request could come out when we get above that. 40 inches, it's $858 per occurrence.
Now that's plowing only.
No. Whatever it's needed. So it could be plowing only, it could be salting only.
So potentially their per occurrence could be going more than double, basically double of what
currently
is. That I don't think I'll take.
No, that's not what I heard. 858, and if there is salting that's needed, that's included in the 858 per occurrence fee.
Right, correct. But as showing here, for the proposed, the per occurrence would be defined as 900 per plowing only, 700 for salting only, or if you do both, it would be $1,600 per pole. Currently, we're getting at rate 58 per pole. So we're asking almost double for the per occurrence. That is not okay with. Great, I know you said that public works potentially could do it, but if we're in those catastrophic event testing where we have that mass of snow falling, we have to separate. Public works was going to be out there doing that, you know, a couple of years ago. So they're not going to be able to have the same as the panel there. So but that's why I don't think that mass.
Well, under our 1 year contract, we did a 1 year option also. What was that price under the 1 year?
They started at 1900. With a fixed amount, and these per occurrence, 900, 1000. So no change there. I am happy to discuss this directly with the Capitol representative and express the reservations and see what I can negotiate down. They have some room. But how much room, I don't yet know.
I think, too, what we need to understand on this is that the salt is such an issue, and it's been for the last couple of years, and it's just getting tougher. Getting it and getting it at a qualified price are, like, two different things. And if we need it that badly and we're going to pay for it, we're going to pay for it well. So I know we're going to see an increase, but I was a little surprised at double.
But didn't we purchase salt with the rest of the villages? Did we go on that cooperative agreement this year?
We get our salt historically under the state contract. This year, we have kept the state contract, but also became part of Lake County Division of Transportation Initiative to have their own contract. 1,600 tons with last winter's contractual amount. 80% we have to purchase, up to 120% the supplier is obligated to hold the price. We went 137% last winter, hopefully not to be repeated again anytime soon. So I planted 1,000 tons with under state contract, 600 under Lake County contract. And to show some of the volatility, and we're blessed that it's not uglier than it is, same supplier, same depot, under state contract it was $60.92 a ton. Under county contract it was $69.51 a ton. So again, nothing different, just we're at the end of the whip along with a lot of others, other prices. So
how many
tons
do you take that area?
I'm sorry?
How many tons per person would actually do the area that the coffee has capital do? I don't think it would justify a $700 salting.
I don't want to hazard a guess, and I apologize. I did not think for a single application of, let's say, reasonable density, how many tons of salt that would be. Now, we get it cheaper than they do. They're private on
the right, and they're right. Salted their salt at their price.
They use ours.
No,
they're salt at their price.
Right.
Why don't we give them our salt?
You
don't pay for the salt. You just put a penny, pay a little more for their spray of it, but they use our salt.
Our hourly rate versus our and
material.
We could do that. Since they are our contractor. Logistical details, the only thing that comes to my mind is two things. Them operating our
front-end loader, and keeping track of quantity.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to fill up a truck and go square the parking lot and head off with it and do other things. I don't think that's very manageable.
I'm just saying, because like saying that 700, I don't know how big the area, we don't know exactly the tonnage that it takes to spread out that you could, you know, say, fault to make it to the area. But saying, even if we did it at the $700 divided by $75, if I'm giving a little extra for other costs, assuming, that's assuming over 9 1/4 ton for that area. So is it reasonable or is it not a reasonable cost for the price?
Or labor.
That would take a little bit of coordination. But then once again, that's still taking in, you know, they're still doing an increase of 858 to 900, when typically that 858 was salt and plowing. So then there should actually be a decrease because we're not even getting the salt.
Let's try to simplify it. The last contract was for plowing and salting at $858 per occurrence. Let's start with giving them a call and saying we can't accept doubling that and seeing if they'll move on that. All the other things are ways to try to pull dollars out of this contract that seems like it could be very complicated. Hard to track, which means that it's going to cost you more man hours, which in the long run runs up, ends up being a deficit. So let's start with the simple approach. Call them up and say, hey, we can't deal with doubling a part of your service. We can understand an increase. We can understand salt more expensive. We understand all of that, but can't double it. Let's start there.
I'd be happy to share the information from the negotiations. My desire would be if this does come back to the regular board at the November 18th meeting, so that ideally it can be formally approved, so that whenever the snow ice actually first happens.
Well, let's move your AIS forward, but let's have contingency on the per occurrence pricing.
Okay. Very good.
Everybody fine with that?
The next item, let me get my notes, please, is the alley. You want me to insert this one first?
Yes.
All right. I had talked to a few of his, and I was going to hand it out and try and explain it. Hand it out. Truck 56, that is our yellow 10-yard dump truck that we bought in 2011. Started out as an auction at Warren Foundership that led. We noticed, and this photograph pass around shows the wing plow. If you had noticed some leaning on the front end on the passenger side. And not surprising, given the winged plow, which that first photograph shows, causing an off-center weight on the front suspension passenger side. Seemingly, it has gotten progressively more of a lean. And it was my intention to go through this winter with the truck as it exists. We are required to take our CDL sized vehicle, 26,000 pounds, twice a year for a safety lane inspection. That's the only requirement. The truck passed that inspection last Thursday, but the inspector expressed to my person that took the vehicle there some substantive concern about the extent of the lien and expression of enough concern to keep going to revisit the prudency or lack of prudency of waiting to replace and strengthen that front suspension. So we took the vehicle to A Tire for their assessment and cost estimate to replace both sets of front springs. And unlike passenger cars, these are leaf springs as like in the back. Their estimate is included in this packet I gave you, $3,000 and some dollars. And they would be buying the parts from the specialty contractor that we have used in the past, Spring Align Palatine. So we went to them directly because our agreement with A Tire, as far as size vehicles, goes up to and including one gun, but does not include the five-yard dump trucks or this 10-yard dump truck. Spring Align's quote is $2,200 and some dollars. Led myself to talk to the mayor and to Steve Shields, and that led me to go over to A Tire and talk first with their lead truck mechanic, Doc Meister, to confirm that I had an apples-to-apples quote and did. And that led me then to talk to Mike Kohlmeyer. Good discussion. Mike wanted to talk to Rob. Rob called me back 30 minutes later saying you should take it to the Spring Along. So my request in bringing all that forward this evening is to seek authorization to move forward now to have Spring Align order the parts about a 5-day delivery time to have then the truck driven down there, the suspension fixed, and come back to the board on November 18th to ratify the expenditure.
He's looking for authority right now. He's going to investigate it and bring it back for purchase later. Is that what your plan is?
I think he wants the authority to fix it and ratify it.
I was hearing about something. I was hearing you're going to...
Authority or support? Trying to avoid calling this
an emergency. I heard support.
So there's not an emergency.
There won't be a vote on it. It's not on the agenda. Trustee Newby is absolutely correct. But if you're just wondering what the level of support for it is, certainly you can accept that.
You're looking to bring it to a regular agenda item for the 20th meeting and to circumvent Committee of the Whole and then for board approval.
Correct. And if I said the 18th, I'd call it down the
20th. So on the 17th, will the truck be repaired at that point?
Yes.
No.
You said, would the truck be repaired by that point?
Yes.
If we're going to order the parts, we're making a commitment, and again, about a 5-day delivery time. Once they know that delivery time, they will schedule us when to bring the truck down.
Bottom line is, it will be repaired by the time we go out.
Yes.
So it is looking for ratification. I think what's important here is, first off, it's an important vehicle for our snow ops.
And we have to have snow.
If anyone can tell us in their magical fall when that day is going to be, more power to you. We don't know when that's going to be, so it needs to be ready. In addition to that, I do consider it a safety issue for somebody who's driving it. And I'm not willing to take anyone's safety into our hands as a game. It's not. So, in my opinion, it seems like you have both our support and taking right by.
Fix the truck, Ron. If it's fixed before the meeting, we'll ratify it. If not, we'll vote on it.
Thank you.
One thing for the record, that you didn't mention, Ron, in your presentation, that the price difference that you talked to Colmar's, that they explained about the municipal pricing from the other company, if you would just comment on that.
When Rob Meister called me back saying you should take it to Springer Line, his comment was that he learned A, Springer Line did not say to ask how much, but they gave a much greater discount on parts selling to municipality, governmental agencies, than they do to a private vendor. They do this for a living, so I'm making the presumption that it will take them less time, that's reflected in their estimate, than a big higher dollar. This is a sizable task for them, so their estimate is going up.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
The last item as the mayor brought up at our last committee of the whole, the proposal to close to motor vehicle traffic the alley that is west of Goodman. Good discussion, and I participated in with several of you, and a comparison as to, okay, what about the other alleys, such as the backside of the businesses that front on Cedar Lake, i.e. the alley between Cedar Lake and Goodman. As you can see, it services the number of businesses and therefore motor vehicle transiting through there is important. To a lesser extent, but similarly, the businesses on the east side of Cedar Lake do have some dependency on the, as we call it, the BP alley, for back access and for parking. Back to the Goodnell Alley, other than Iron Horse, there is no commercial need for the, what we call it, the Goodnell Alley. There are no garages that actively rely on that alley for coming and going. And then there is pedestrian and bicycle traffic and activity. People coming off of Goodnow, off of Nipperson, to get to the train station, walking or bicycling. Fortunately, we've not had a reported motor vehicle versus bicyclist pedestrian accident. I would hope it can stay that way. One of the ways is to eliminate the shortcutting of motor vehicle traffic through the alley. I think I'll pause on that and try and answer any questions that there might be.
There's on the south side of that alley, almost to the ships that go out there, the garage is there. One guy was trying to put a dirt pad there now. Have those people been contacted on what we're trying to do here to give their input?
You're referring to the garage that fronts on Avalon and the excavated area, recently excavated. I have purposefully not talked to anybody yet. I wanted to get some guidance from the board here.
I would like to just be allowed to leave the either from a letter and a certified to speak on behalf that we contacted to give their input. At least give them an opportunity to come to the board meeting to give us their input. Other than that, I think I support the closure. My question is, how many ballots are going to go across the alley? Have you decided that yet?
Say the last thing.
How many ballots are going to go across the block the path to each other? One or three?
There will be bollards put one at each of the four locations, if you point them out, Ron.
Sure.
Starting.
Given the dependence of access to the building, vehicular access to the building between Iron Horse and the property just to the south, the northmost bollard would be about where my finger currently is. And the good news is power pole and the building, and makes a very convenient choke point with one bollard in the middle. Like Joanne and I have walked and thought this. And then a separate question that I would like input on, but we do not need to decide, where does the south bollard go? Could go at the corner, where my finger is, corner of the alley in Avalon. It could go right there, allowing the metro lot to continue back access. I propose we don't try and solve that today. To me, that's a sort of a separate discussion, separate issue, assuming concurrence that would close the alley to through motor vehicles. Similarly down here, that there's a compelling case for that parking area, the bollards could go where my two fingers are.
Because also we have some new owners for those houses, a couple of them, and they may have bought them knowing they didn't have access to that alley. So I'd just like to get more to see if that's what they really want at this time.
Don, the only one is that that comes into play that access would be the person that's put the parking, proposed parking lot there, which we don't even know if they can do legally yet. I don't have a problem with moving it if they can. The rest of the garages that's on the alleyway, none of them have access to the alley. There's no, what I mean is there's no doors on or drive that goes around. I used to have a drive that went around my alley that I could go either way. I could access it, but I closed that off for privacy reasons. I put trees there. I was really the only one that accessed it. None of the other ones do. And if we talk to the person and if they do make a permit for the business that they're proposing to go in there and that parking lot is there, you know, the whole issue with this thing is to provide a level of safety. And if we have to move those bollards in or out to allow the parking lot to function, I prefer to not see it because of the length of the alley that from our metro parking lot. To me, that's too much conflict with pedestrians, children, bicyclists, etc. If we did it like we did at the Iron Horse end, where we just moved a little in a little bit, it still provides that level of safety that I think we're looking for.
Well, this alley width is really not a street width anyway. And the thickness on this paving isn't like a street paving. So you're looking at an alley It's designated to be an alley. It is not designated to be a roadway.
It's a utility easement. It's a utility easement. That's what it's always been used for. As you know, and I think we stated in here, I spoke to the chief and talked to Paul Mapplethorpe, and they also said that the alley does not provide any substantial benefit as far as emergency or fire safety. So with the exception of where the bollards are going to go precisely, do we want to move forward with making this? And let's not use the word, the verb is closing. This is not closing the alley. This is opening the alley to a new use.
That's
yep. Restricting motorized vehicles.
I have no issues with it moving forward, as long as the homeowners are contacted, let them know what we're trying to do, and let them gather up for the election.
I know a guy that lives close there. I'll send him down and knock on each door.
So in addition to that alley, what we're looking at, signs at both ends or signs at strategic placements?
Pardon me? To the other alley?
Well, for this one, there'll be postings at both ends. Okay. And yes, then going to the other ones, to the, again, just to make sure that we've done all we can for our alley. Do we have miles per hour signs on the other alley?
No.
We do not. But 10 mile an hour would be my proposal, enforceable.
What's
our ordinance?
What hour is it? What's our ordinance? Right. I'll have to review, and I don't know when we have the ordinance.
I think as long as we're going through the signage correctly, I think we should make sure that all of our alleys are signed appropriately. And then I would be in total favor of all of this. I think we've done a good service for our pedestrians and our residents in the downtown area. Make it clear, make it simple.
I think, if I recall from Rural Road, there might be a statute that recommends alleys be at 10 miles an hour, if I recall. I would recommend 5 miles an hour since ours are so short, and those other ones have pedestrians and parking and delivery trucks and, you know, they're busy.
Yeah, I'd say 5.
That's the only reason I think the BP alley has 10 miles
an hour. Okay. Because I know you're coming southbound that alley in particular, and you're coming around Jose Hernandez's boxing, you can come out of there a little too fast, and Nipperson is right there. You've got a lot of kids on that area coming and going, and it gets congested to say the least, so I'd like to see the closing just to be clear.
Five sounds good to you, Mike?
First, let's make sure it's an old property. Let me do some research.
Okay.
And Mr. Ray, you talked about a fine of some sort of a violator violates the blocking plan.
They wouldn't be able to expose bollards in the way.
What's that?
They wouldn't be able to
actually drive around it.
They'd be driving in aggressive. They'd be.
Trust me, I filled up a lot of rust in my grass. They would.
He talked about a fine. I'd like to really have an idea in mind and how we'll arrange arrive to that number.
Chief, do you have an idea for a fine on that? Something that would be appropriate?
I think just a regular IDC fine would be appropriate.
Whenever the judge said something. So that would not like a little more than 25.
No, it's a moving violation, so it might not make
it. Okay.
Do we have anyone going around the horse now?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Picking the horse up, closing it, and leaning against the garages.
Yeah.
How rude.
Mm-hmm. I would say that I put those horses back up twice a week.
Very good.
I'm looking forward to the first fine. So what we're going to do then, am I hearing everybody right, that we're going to move forward on this, we'll discuss bollard location And I will contact all of the residents on Goodnow.
And
the speed limit signs for the other two alleys.
We can, yeah. And all the showings.
Very good.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for taking the time to do this.
You're quite well. Let me get back to my agenda. It's lost. One moment.
Okay, we're just going to really, for the most part, John, were you able to get a hold of the area queen?
No, not yet, but I did get a hold of Santa, and he's on for a little bit.
Eric was so gracious to go through the massive list of folks that I sent him as possibilities. I added extras on there just in case he gets pulling out since they were value bundles, and so they just look even longer. But he is very well versed in children's winter themed books and also the people, so we will be making a question about each of that book that will order, and whoever's helping Santa can kind of make an estimate of the love of their siblings so that they can get a couple different books for, you know, the age something of level 3 like estimates. So we will be getting those, so we ordered officially this week, so we have them in time.
And we do you have this covered in the budget?
This will be covered in the budget. Trustees Crowley and Brian have generously will be making $100 contributions each to, right? So that's correct, we will to the tree lighting ceremony. They're going to do that for the village and get to advantage of our budget, so we will have everything in cookies, canteen, books,
hot cocoa.
Santa Nice was donating hot cocoa. She's already ordered the cups and the napkins. We're just going to pick up extra cookies from the village and the candy cans from the village as well. And then we just basically going to go with that. Ron's going to coordinate the hayride. So we're going to have two meals left over, so we're going to do that little hayride that we tend to do. We also discussed, here's the thing that we discussed in that, is does that section, you know, after we light the tree, does that have to have that section kind of decorated with, you know, people plus the kind of somewhat bring in some brutality decorations just for like the couple hours of the tree or something like have a big blow up Christmas tree type thing and Santa hanging from it or something. So we want to kind of make it kind of a little, just a little bit of a festive when you drive past on your air ride so you're not just going on air ride of our village at darkness. So you kind of get a little bit of a show. But it just be literally what I want to bring in certain things, non-religious affiliated. Correct?
Well, of a secular nature, yes. But if you're bringing something personal that expresses your own personal views, then that's fine.
So, and just to be, you know, things that we can plug in that are real easy that can set up that day and then take home that night type of thing. Kind of be a little bit more of a festive type of. Ron and I, we're going to go ahead and kind of look and see what we have available, and then we're going to kind of finalize what we have and what we can use at the next meeting for that.
You want to give away books, right?
Oh, yeah, we were talking about also seeing those little, we can mention, I get like 5,000 of those books because my children are alcoholics. Getting like the little LED lights and things like that so we can kind of illuminate those things or even using some of the thought horses that have those amber lights and kind of wrapping them with like the plastic wrap that's red or green to give a little bit of that light shimmer through too and potential additional little extra to make it a little more festive.
How many kids are you planning? And we're going to do 200 books, because we had about 200 bags last year, and we had a couple of extra weeks, so we're thinking about 200 kids out.
So you need like 200 candy canes then?
You're giving away books, though.
Yes.
Some of the books, you know, we have a good-sized Hispanic population, and we need some of those books in Spanish.
I could do that, actually, because I do know they have a Spanish question. I will probably check those titles of the ones that we're able to.
Mm-hmm.
I can definitely do that. What percentage would you like me to share, like, make a quarter that And then that makes things more consistent in climbing that south board. I understand exactly where you're coming from with that.
I brought it up. It's not dealing with on that deal. Because I do think you should.
Well, would we run into this, I guess, with our attorney's thing? Do we stir off?
I don't think so.
So we discussed possibly ordering some books in Spanish, is that instead of books that need to be sold, we have to have books in other languages as well? Or since the majority of our population here is Hispanic and English speaking, so I can't order some Spanish books?
You know, we have a gentleman here tonight, he's saying zero Hispanic.
Oh, in Spanish?
Yeah.
So I would say if you order 200, that's about 50.
So about 50 books, the order of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
You bet
I
know. Oh, I got this. Okay. Mm-hmm. As long as that's five to come open up, any other additional backlash, I don't want anything to come back. So I think that is it. So anybody who wants to think through your closets, your basements, your stores, this is where you have your holiday decorations. If you have anything that you feel is up spring, so light it up and keep it in consideration for the next meeting when we will sort of kind of figure out what we'll have available.
Thank you, Dawn. Please.
Mr. Mayor, members of the board, the first agenda item is the police department. The purchase and replacement tactical assault factory ballistic vest for our night team member from Strike Tactical Solution on Lake Zurich, Illinois. The price of the vest, the lowest price we found, is from Strike, and it's $3,927.78. The other price that we got was from ProTech out of Ohio for $4,031.68. This was a budgeted item. Right now we have the money in the next budget, but it is $1,000 more than what we budgeted. The price just went up. That's what it cost. And it did not, when we put the budget together, it was not that price from these places.
Did the technology change?
I think the commodity is the item itself. They dominate the market. To find this product, apples to apples, is very difficult. I mean, what I mean by that is the exact item we need and the exact item from different vendors. So these are the best prices that we have. Depending on how, when the knife of bill comes in, we may not go over budget, we might go over budget by $1,000. In this category. The VASO key currently uses this expired, if it expired last week. So
you need to have, you need to add the best map.
Period.
And not have lost us. Yeah. This is something we don't play around with. And the reason being is that what he's on is an entry team type of thing. Every time he goes out the door, he might as well put a sign across the next thing, kill me. Bottom line is, we don't need to go through a whole lot of rigmarole. They've already done the research. They did the homework. Liaison, Newby and myself did the homework behind it. It's a bottom line thing. We need it. He needs it. Let's go with
it.
I got a feeling that it's unanimous. We'll put it on the consent agenda. Thank you.
I will look for somewhere else to say.
See, from the quote that you have, the specs on each vest are the same, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to put it right down.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. The second item, I'm sorry, it's not okay to proceed. The second item is requesting authorization to pay, it's called a matching grant, but it's not quite matching. Our detective's located a grant that was put out by Justine Incorporated, and the grant is for a computer program called Solibrate. It recovers forensic electronic evidence from cell phones, computers, things like that for financial crimes and pornography cases, things that we need recovery from electronic devices. That program comes with the small hardware to do that and the program to do it. The program itself is $5,370. Our share of the grant is for to pay for it would be $1,995. This is not budgeted, but we have, if I recall correctly, in our computer crimes feature funds, we have about $40,000. It's very difficult to spend because it has to be spent on items exactly like this. So this falls into that. But we also have a budget for some computers that we probably are going to need to buy all of them this year that we can take that money from if you allow it. So what we're asking for is permission to get that program. The benefit of that program is today when we have a cell phone that we need to get information, common thing is texting to the kids and adults that are sending stuff to the kids. It takes about 6 months to get the state to return the information. And some of these programs, if you don't get it right away, it automatically other venue that we have is the Lake County Sheriff's Office, and that can take 3 to 6 months to do that thing.
Spend the money.
Yep. Yeah, the money got it budget there. Let's spend it now. Yep.
Everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. One item under administration.
In front of you is a ordinance to adopt, to allow PEMDA and FOBO to enter into the JAVO, in which we are a member. The JAVO board approved a resolution on October 22nd doing the same. Each member must approve the ordinance to allow us to be in JAVO.
As we did, we'll move it forward. Everybody in agreement? Very good. Thank you. And that was the last item. Any new topics?
I have one. I've been seeing a lot in the
attention to pedestrians and crosswalks. And lately, I've been going down to the road because I'm a lot more local now that I'm certainly in my situation. But I noticed a lot of the problems is people not crossing in the crosswalks. They're crossing every which spot. So people are literally stopping and stopping for kind of time versus people making their way to the crosswalk. Chief, I'd like to give you some sort of initiative. I know it's a long time of year to start it, but it's also some sort of, especially when snow and ice starts to become faster, safety for people to be able to stop quickly. I mean, you know you're going slow anyway, but it's just going to stop it versus rolling into somebody who's kind of cross where they shouldn't be crossing versus crossing the crosswalk. If we can do some sort of initiative to draw attention to people to start crossing at the crosswalk to get to the other side, and then also to make it more known to motorists that this is where you're going to stop with pedestrians, so that this way we don't have 5,000 stops for everybody that's crossing. I mean, literally, there was one day I literally counted probably at every single business because there were people crossing back and forth between them, and then there's one woman sitting there for like 2 minutes while the police just goes like this, and I'm like, okay, you can go, and she just never did stop having a foot, and then she actually left and started walking. And I'm like, I would have been called that motorist for hitting her, even though she's not.
So I didn't hear what you said. Was the area you're talking about?
Oh, Cedar Lake Road, the downtown Cedar Lake, yeah, right here, where he caught everybody with all the businesses right there. They cross wherever they want. They don't cross at the little designated crosswalks that are right there in between it or at the end of the street. They literally go wherever they want, and I'll be okay with it, so don't get me wrong. I mean, I've done it bad myself, but I just, as recently, I'm just having my kids go out there, as I've been going out there more often, it really got my attention thinking, maybe this has been my, we've been trying to be more proactive with going to the crosswalks to cross, but I'd like to kind of see something going where we kind of educate the pedestrians to cross at the crosswalk, and once again, educate our motorists that the pedestrians in those crosswalks, or at the spot, you stop and you wait for them to cross versus them having to wait for a seat. See, I know it's like as soon as we're getting colder, of course, I think we're the ones getting colder, but the kind of thing once that ice comes to people will fly. Might make it a little true. That's my next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other topics? May I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Newby, seconded by Trustee Simoncelli. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned at 8:42.
Yes.